particularly know that in Dagenham Parish Church we use the Bible like it is. It's made of separate books, and so we read a whole of the book of the Bible by going through it section by section, several weeks at a time. So this is the beginning of a run of weeks going through this book in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Not really the next bit because those bold headings are not actually part of the original Bible. So verse 3. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love. It comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned into meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they don't know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, that's quite complicated, isn't it? We're going to need God's help to understand those words. Let's ask for his help to think about this clearly and understand what he's saying to his people in this bit of the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is forever and ever. It's about truth. It's about you. It's about human beings. The part of the Bible that doesn't seem very obvious as we first read it. Please help us to understand it together so that it would have a good effect in our lives and in our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. But one of the phrases in that little section was God's work, the work of God. How does the work of God happen? And of course, as people who come to church, we want to be in the work of God. We want the work of God to be happening in us. We want the work of God to be happening through us. That's what life is about, isn't it? If there is a God, if there is someone who has made all human beings, if he knows us every moment of every day, we want to be in contact with him and doing the things, living life the way he's made us to live. So how does God work happen? Does it happen by us going up into a mountain place and having a daydream or into beautiful woods? Does it happen by us meeting together with other people and talking lots with them, and they say something and we say something and somehow together we work it out? Does it happen by us singing on and on and on until I don't think that's the way it works? How does God do his work? Well, that's what this section of the Bible is. It's a letter. I've got some letters here. I'm not going to open them, have I? Who is this letter from and who is it to? Those are real questions. You'll have to look in the bar for the answer. Who wrote this letter? Which human wrote it? Paul. Yeah, that's right at the beginning, the top of the page. All the Bible is written by God, but he's used human beings to write each of the different parts. So Paul wrote this letter, and to whom did he write the letter? Timothy. That's right, a man called Timothy. Timothy, we'll find out as we read through, is the church teacher. You think, well, why is it in the Bible if it's just for that man, Timothy, the church teacher? It's because it's important for us all to know. It's not just for the church teacher to know. Everyone needs to know because it shows us the way God's work happens. There's a problem that Timothy's got to deal with in verse 3. If you spot that, have a look in verse 3. Paul is telling Timothy, you've got to sort out a problem. What's the problem? False doctrine. Yeah, people are teaching false doctrine, and Timothy's got to stop that. So the problem is not about the church council, how the church is organised. It's not about what time to have church. It's not about what clothes the vicar wears. I know this is not very common, but some of the teenagers do it. But it's about teaching. because get teaching wrong and God's work is stopped. Right teaching with right living, not just someone telling things about God, it's right teaching with right living is the way God's work happens. So there are two kinds of teaching going on. There's the teaching about King Jesus, the person we've sung some of our songs and all of our songs about this morning, King Jesus, and then there's false doctrine. That's the other kind of doctrine, is other doctrine, other teaching. And they have different effects. We're going to see from these words, false teaching makes people who argue. Teaching about King Jesus makes people who love. So false teaching makes people who argue. Look at that verse 4. He's saying not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations. Controversies means arguments. That's what that ends up with. False teaching ends up with arguments. The teaching about Jesus ends up in love. Verse 5. The goal of this command is love. Now, we don't know who these other teachers were that Timothy had to deal with way back then, 2,000 years ago. But what we do know is they were teaching wrong ideas. They were probably teaching things about Jesus, weren't they? Because the Christians were still listening to them. And if they said, no, no, Jesus is rubbish, then the Christians would say, no, we don't want to go with those people. So they were saying things that sounded quite good, but they needed to realise they weren't true. Three things that they are doing and the people are following. Let me read verse 3 and 4 again. As I urged you, when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Think about those three things. How does God's work happen? And I'm going to do some work of building two kinds of constructions. Hope you can see that. False doctrine or false teaching. Myth and then genealogy. But myths are stories about how the world works, but they're not true. So people believing myths, it's like believing that the films are true. Have you seen the Inside Out film? Anyone seen the Inside Out film? Not many. Oh dear, I'm going to have to explain it to you. The Inside Out, the film called Inside Out is about this little girl, the young girl who's got some characters inside her who are affecting the choices that she makes. And it's to do with what memories that they can hold on to. If the characters hold on to the right memories, and that helps the girl to make good choices or bad choices. And how we really are as people? Well, it's just a film. It's just a story. But believing a myth is like believing that story is true of people, of how we operate. Believing a myth would be like believing the Marvel Universe is true. And I'm very sorry if anyone here did think that, but it isn't really true. Okay, there aren't superheroes and sort of conflicts happening out in the space world. Some people believe in the myth of the Illuminati. Have you heard of this? This idea that there's sort of a big conspiracy theory of rich and powerful people, they're all controlling us and we don't really know what's going on. And they do. That's a myth. Some Christians believe this myth that there's a spirit world, lots of battles in spirit beings, and that cuts us off from God above it. We've got to sort of battle against this spirit world and get people's help to deal with these evil spirits so that we can connect through to God. Sometimes people think they can mix in ideas from, like, the internet when we're reading the Bible. Oh, it's interesting the Bible says that, but the internet says this. Oh, I've heard that there might be aliens in other galaxies. I wonder what that means for Jesus. It doesn't help understand the true message of God. Christianity is not about myths. Mark, can you put a slide up? It's another part of the Bible that we show you here. This is Jesus' friend Peter, who was on the mountain with Peter when Peter's on the mountain with Jesus when Jesus appeared to him. can act be different. And Peter writes about that. We didn't follow cleverly devised myths, but we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses. We saw with our eyes that change that happened to Jesus. It's not make-believe stories. The Christian message. The other teaching that people were interested in Timothy's time was genealogies, or what I put as family lists. So genealogy is a list of names for my family. You know, who's the great-great-granddad, who's the great-granddad, who's the granddad, who's dad, who's the aunties. People love to find this out about their family. People ring me, the vicar, to find out about the graves out in the graveyard. Just say, oh, who's my auntie there? When exactly was she buried? They wanted to know just the right dates and names. There are family lists in the Bible. But the family list is not in the Bible, and not finding out exactly the exact list of who was granddad and dad and auntie and all of those things. The family list in the Bible is to teach us about people. Like, at the beginning of the Gospel according to Matthew, there's a family list for Jesus, and it shows that some of the women in his family background were people you wouldn't want to be friends with. They came from bad backgrounds. That's not because people want to know exactly who was auntie and great-grandma and great-great-great-grandma. It's because Matthew was saying, that's the kind of family Jesus came from. So just don't look down on other people. That's what Jesus is talking about. But the problem is, when there are family lists in the Bible, people do get really sort of concerned about it being just right and are the names in the right names. Especially people who are obsessive. They don't actually know the truth about Jesus, and they just like arguments. That's the kind of people get lost. That's not the way God's work happens. See, what does it say here happens if you have false teaching, if you have myths, if you just don't have arguments about family myths? What do you end up with according to verse 4? Yeah, arguments. What's the word in verse 4? The phrase? Controversial speculations. So, speculations would be questions. Actually, I think it is the right way. Questions and arguments. And you've seen that on the internet, haven't you? People, if you haven't seen it on the internet, I'm very pleased for you if you haven't. But if you look into the argument, people are having arguments, and they argue more and more and get more and more angry about less and less information. Just a big bust-up. No one knows anything, but they're just having lots of quarrels. There's nothing wrong with the internet, but one of the things the internet has shown us really clearly is how human beings like us love to have arguments about things that are not really true or don't really matter. That's what we're like as humans, aren't we? There's nothing wrong with talking about things to understand better, and we would love any of you to come to the invites here for that close encounters course. Ask questions about Jesus, to find answers about Jesus. But sometimes when people are having discussions, it's just people who want to look good because they've won the argument or because they know more than the other person. And that's what you end up with this kind of action. So what is Timothy told to do in verse 3? Yeah, what's the command? What did he tell him to do? Yeah, command them not to teach false doctrines any longer. That's what he did. Now that's hard, isn't it? You've got to be brave to tell people that sometimes you have to be brave to tell people they're doing something wrong. And it doesn't sound very loving. So I know a lot of you who are at school, the idea that you would tell someone else they're wrong about God. Well, actually, there is a wrong way to try and do God's work. We've got the right way in a minute. So if people are trying to do God's work in the wrong way, we must say to God. Because we do that. So God's plan isn't by false teaching, false doctrines, myths, and genealogy. I mean, that's not God's plan, God's work. verse 4, not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, such things provoke controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. God's work comes about because he is trustworthy, he's faithful, and his people trust him. His work is trust. So it starts. Here we go. Let's see how God's work does really happen. It comes with other cardboard boxes. The message about King Jesus. Okay. That's the beginning of God's work. Verse 1. At the very beginning, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and Jesus Christ our hope. God is the one who rescues his people, rescues and saves them so they don't go to hell. Jesus is the person that we put our hope in. We've sung that, haven't we? When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me all the guilt of it, I look to heaven and see him again, who made an end of all my sin. We sing in the children's song, Jesus died to wash us clean. When we put our trust in him, God opens his arms and welcomes us. That's the basis of the beginning of God's work. And then what does knowing Jesus do for us? Verse 5, what we're going to end up with is love. The goal of this command is love. It comes from these three things. It comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So pure heart, first of all. When we know God the Son, Jesus, who came to earth, he came to earth and gave himself and died at Easter, died on the cross, to have the punishment for our sin and to make us clean for God. Jesus died to make us clean. And also to start to change us inside. So our hearts, we talk about heart loves. When we're a follower of Jesus, our heart loves start to change to have pure hearts. Good conscience. I've changed the word to this. I doesn't mean to be sure of God. The conscience is bitten you when you feel bad if you told a lie and you know it's wrong. That's your conscience. Or someone accuses you and says, did you do that? And you know you didn't. You feel okay about it. You've got a good conscience. Christians have a good conscience with God. They're sure of God. They're sure of life with God because Jesus died on the cross to take away all the punishment for our sin and make us forgiven. So we do things wrong. That's why every time we come to church, we have an apology prayer, a confession prayer. We know we've got stuff wrong. But we know we're forgiven. So it's not sort of make us feel rubbish and bad all the time. Because we've admitted it to God and we know it's been sorted with God by Jesus, so we can have a be sure of God, sure of life with God. And then what's the third thing? Pure hearts, good conscience. In the Bible, what's the third thing? A sincere faith. Sincere means true, real, not pretend. It's a real faith, and faith means trust. So real trust. So it's not just that you come to church and you've sung the songs about Jesus being the one who has the punishment for sin to make forgiveness so that we now have life with God and we enjoy that. It's that you really believe that's true for me. Yeah, I did get things wrong. And I do trust that Jesus is the one who sorts out life with God. I've got a real trust in Jesus. And then what comes out of all of those? What is the goal? Love. Yeah. Just all enough. If it was big enough, it would go the whole way, but that's the way it works. So hearing about King Jesus gives a pure heart. God's starting to change us. It gives us good conscience. I'm sure of God. I know that he loves me and I'm safe with him. I trust that. Not just things I've known because I learned them at school or we sang a song about it at church. No, when I wake up in the morning and I feel miserable about things, I remember, no, Jesus did this. And I've got a trust in me, Joel. You have that trust in you, in your life. That will change us so that we start to see people we love love the Bible way. Love the way that God loves. We've got a verse on the slide for that. Thanks, Mark. This is what Jesus said. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a special kind of love, isn't it? That you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You walk around and it's a rainy day. You don't see good people walking around, you know, in a space with no rain on them, do you? The rain comes on us all, but the sun comes on us all as well in the good times. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pay them to do that. Those are the people that Jesus time of being looked down on and hated. Jesus says, you know better than those people. You only love the people that are like you. The work of God is knowing King Jesus, who came to make life for us with God. It changes us. Pure heart, pure conscience, true trust. And that will start to change us so that we love in a very special way when people are meeting with us. That is the work of God. And which, it's not a difficult question, which do we want at DPC? Huh? Do you want to have arguments? Do you want to have people just boasting and going on about how big they are and how much they know? No, we want this one, don't we? We want to be hearing about Jesus, changing us from the inside. Love sounds hard, but that's God's work, and it's a good thing. So let's be careful. Sometimes we can find ourselves going down this road, you know, in a Bible study group, in Sunday school, asking, you know, what about that man who owned the donkey that Jesus rode on? What was he called? And what was the donkey called? And what was their house like? You know, we don't need to know that stuff. The Illuminati and Marvel and bringing that into the Bible, those things, yeah, don't get lost in that. In fact, it's just about people feeling good about themselves and putting others down. This ends in arguments. Fight. This ends in love and friendship. Just look at the last verse where the Paul says it ends up in. Verse 6. Some have departed from these and turned to meaningless talk. So the train departs the station, doesn't it? When it leaves the station, it goes away. What happens if you depart from the pure heart? You're no longer interested in the things that Jesus is telling you to love. If you depart from being sure of God and a good conscience, it's when you're doing wrong things and you know they're wrong, and you don't want to say sorry to God, you end up going, changing your future. It makes you look good. And that's a good way for church to go. You give up on real trust. You can sing all the songs at church and answer all the Bible questions, but actually, when it's you on your own in secret with God in the bedroom, you trust him. They turn away from that. Where do they end up? Verse 7. They want to be teachers of the law, of God's law in the Bible, but they don't know what they're talking about. They think they look good at teaching. They don't understand God, and they don't understand their faith. That's what they're doing. But how does God's work happen? I hope you can see that the way I've explained it has come from those verses in the Bible. Try to read the verses and take you through the verse. You go away and read it again to check. Paul has said to Timothy, who's the church teacher, stop the people who are teaching false teaching, give themselves mixed in genealogies. Because all that does is make arguments and dead end questions. That's not the way of God's work. The way of God's work is him being faithful to his promise and his people trusting and being faithful to his ways, teaching about thinking that changes us from the inside, makes us sure of God, gives us real life with God. It's really me and God. And that's going to make us a church that starts to love. And we want that love then to lead us to tell other people about Jesus who don't know him yet. Great God's work is happening for other people to join in the great work of God. Right. so much that you sent Jesus to be our rescuer. And because of him, we can have hope. We can look forward to the next life being perfectly with you. And we thank you that you care about us as well, that you've given us teaching in the Bible to help us be in part of your work and stay away from things that are not your work. Please, please, please let Daniel Parish Church be a church which truly is about your work. Please let there be more of your kind of love between each of us and for people who are outside and not yet